I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. It is Wednesday, December 28th. I had to think about what day it is because the holidays just throw you off that much. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Leslie Chris today. Leslie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, although I can't keep up with the days.
I know it is hard. I was thinking
it's
that
very
today.
Hard. And then I came in, I worked Monday, and it was like a Sunday in here because there was nobody in here. So my days are just completely thrown off at the moment.
I agree. I feel the same.
As things go around here, did you have a Merry Christmas?
I did. There was a lot of driving involved, but it was fun.
Where did you drive?
I drove to South Mississippi to Brookhaven, and then I drove back to Tupelo and loaded up again and drove 3 hours to Huntsville, Alabama.
You could be an Uber driver. You should have picked people up and made the rounds while you were doing it. Made a little money.
My car was full, so, you know, with presents and people.
All in one day?
No. Went to Brookhaven Thursday. Drove back late Friday night, got home about 1:30 in the morning, got up at 7,
holy cow.
Loaded up, Dad, Cheryl, the dog, one dog, and went to Huntsville, then came back from Huntsville Monday morning early.
There you go. Whirlwind traveler.
But it was nice.
Across state lines.
Yeah.
Chris, did you have a lovely holiday?
Yeah, it was good. We were not too far from Brookhaven. Went down to New Orleans and saw my family down there. So it was good. We had 3 nights down there. So, you know, not somewhat short, but it was good. Good to see a lot of family, and the boys had a great time.
Did Santa visit y'all's children?
He did. He left a mess at my house. Threw the solo cup of milk in the fireplace and knocked over all the logs out in the floor.
Santa
and there was
did
a
that.
Table moved over. My kid thinks that a reindeer came in with him. Must have.
Did Santa do that on purpose?
I don't know if he did it on purpose or not, but
must have been tired when he got to your house.
He certainly made quite a mess. Well, I know a lot of people left out bourbon for him, I saw, so
that might have been the problem.
I have a feeling by the time he got to our house, he might have been staggering a little bit.
Did you leave out bourbon for Santa in New Orleans?
I did not. I
saw Brad did, so that was why that was my joke.
Brad gave him enough.
Yeah. Did he find the children okay in a different state?
Yeah, we let him know.
Yeah. Is anything?
You know, there's a website now where you can.
There's a website?
Yeah.
It's like the postal service where you can change your address?
Yeah, right. So you let him know.
Let Santa
know. That's good, because I always worried about that as a child.
Yeah.
Your address. There's a write your letter to Santa. Operation Santa USPS.
Maybe I should have put air quotes around that. Wink, wink.
Tell Santa where you are.
There should be a website.
There should be. There's not. Perhaps we could create one.
Yeah.
Let Santa know where you'll be. Going away for the holidays, let Santa know where you'll be.
Actually, it's probably a bad idea for a website.
Yeah, it might be. You know, well, we know where you're going to be, so we'll go to your house.
Because then the Russians will know exactly where you are.
The Russians and the neighbors.
Since they own the internet now.
On the site, you're asked for your name, where you're going to, and where you are from. You also have to check off that you're over the age of 13.
Do you also put on there where you leave your spare key?
and the security code
to your alarm system.
ReRouteSanta.com. Okay, there you go.
Well, anyway, we let him know. We have our ways to let Santa know where we're going to be. So
there's a site you can.
Well,
say
Santa
it, you
know. Sees all and knows all.
Right. Reroute Santa.
So we can come to your house while you're gone.
Yeah, and rob you blind.
That's right.
I think that's what was almost.
I don't think it's a good
house.
Idea.
Yeah, I'm not. The only thing that kept me from believing that it wasn't the Grinch that came in was nothing got stolen. It was all. There was more left. It was just also more of a mess in the process. But all our Christmas decorations were still there. So
did Santa eat the cookies?
Santa did eat the cookies and drank the milk. And like I said, I guess he chugged it and chunked the solo cup in the fireplace.
You know, my most...
In the fireplace? It was off,
in,
though.
In the fireplace. Oh, yeah, it was okay. off. Oh. Well, you can't have it on. He'll burn himself when he comes in.
Oh, fair enough. True. Don't you know that?
Yeah, of course. Are you Santa, trying to smoke Santa out?
One Christmas when I was a child, Santa ate the cookies, but he wrote a note for us on the paper plate that the cookies were on, and it was amazing to get a personal message from Santa saying he enjoyed the cookies.
Never got a personal
message. Only happened once to me, and it made it really special. Wow.
Why did he like you more than me?
Well, I think that's probably obvious because I'm a sweet girl.
Moving on. She's gonna go for the jugular now. She's gonna make it hurt.
Well, you asked the question and left me wide open.
I understand. This is our only episode this week, so we do have a full one today. We've got a special guest joining us in the studio later. Tupelo High School band director Rick Murphy. He'll be discussing the upcoming, traveling that the THS band will be doing to the presidential inauguration in just a few short days here, less than a month away in Washington, D.C., and that's a huge undertaking. The band has to raise $100,000 to be able to do that, and after 5 days, is that correct? 5 days since the announcement?
It's a relatively short time.
They have already raised almost $50,000.
Which is amazing.
They're over 40, so that's really cool. Also today, Jenna Parsons will be joining us, Caleb Bedillion, and Scott Morris, and I'll be telling you what you can find in your scene this week. We're going to go ahead, get started, and remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store right here in Tupelo on East Main Street, formerly Palmer's. The same people work there. You can find the same quality of product that you could when it was Palmer's. Shoppers Value Foods on East Main Street in Tupelo. We also want to remind you the memo is seeking your input on how we can improve. We want to know what you like about the podcast and any suggestions you can make to make us better. Please take our 10 questions online survey at djournal.com/memo survey. You can also email us comments at memo@journalinc.com. And while Brad's out this week, we'd really appreciate it if you'd write them about him. We will go ahead and get started for today.
Poor Brad.
We're joined today by our special guest in the studio, Rick Murphy, band director at Tupelo High School. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for joining us in such a busy time for you. Shouldn't you be out doing car washes and everything else now?
Really, I should be home playing tennis.
Well, they're okay.
Because it's break from school right now. But I found myself in the Tupelo band hall the last 2 weeks.
I can imagine that. You have the auspicious duty of having to raise 101, yeah, you yourself, but are responsible for a group traveling to the inauguration, hopefully in a few short days, and having to raise $100,000 to get there.
We got a phone call from Senator Wicker last Tuesday saying that we were in, and that gives us roughly a month to raise a lot of money to get that band to Washington, D.C.
That is a whirlwind. Now, $100,000, it just sounds like a big amount. What specifically different does that break up to go to?
If we take between 150 and 180 students with the corresponding chaperones that accompany that, we'll have to have 4 motor coaches. And from Tupelo, Mississippi to Washington and back, that's going to be a big chunk of change. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to get the hotel rooms in the Washington area. It would be really nice if we could stay in Charlotte or Charlotte, you know, Chancellorsville or somewhere outside of Virginia. But no, we got to stay pretty close to Washington.
Well, and I imagine hotel rooms during inauguration aren't cheap.
They're up there, and they demand, they're asking right now 3-night minimum. And I was originally hoping that we could just go up and come back and just do the parade and get out of town because it's going to be a packed city,
right?
Obviously. But I think we're going to have to actually do the 3-night thing now.
So 150 to 180 students going, you guys have already nearly made it halfway there.
We have. It's amazing. The band parents have done a great job in the last 6 days. I think right last night we were at 41,000.
That's amazing. What do you attribute that to? Just your hardworking students and their families?
The hardworking parents have done it because the students really have really been on the periphery right now. They're just kind of shocked that we got the invitation.
Yeah.
But so when I called, right after I talked to Senator Wicker, I called our booster president, Dr. Christy Higgins, and said, we got this, let's do it. And she's just taken the ball and run with it.
That's amazing.
I think we've had about 2 meetings with her and her group, and she's just put it together and She's divvied it out. Last night we had a parent-student meeting, and the band hall was filled. And at the end of that meeting, the parents got together, and there were 186 different businesses and contacts they were pledging to go talk to about, you know, trying to get a few dollars here, a few dollars there.
As far as what you'll do when you get there, I mean, you've got a couple of days. I mean, are you hoping to see a few sights with the students while you're there, or is it going to be practice?
I think we'll see sights from afar.
Yeah,
because like
you'll
I told,
be one of the sights.
We will be. I told the parents last night that because Washington would be so full of people,
This
is not going to be your regular band trip where you go and get to see stuff.
Because
Can you imagine being the Smithsonian with 500,000 people?
No.
You know, it's just that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we'll go up probably, and we're not specific yet, but we'll probably leave Wednesday night. And one of the old band things is travel all the way, all night long, which is horrible for old people like me. But the youngsters are okay with it, and that way it cuts off a night lodging. They'll get into Washington about noonish on Thursday. We'll check in the hotel, and then Thursday night we'll be able to do something in the Washington area probably. Friday, the whole day is the parade.
Yeah.
And what we're finding right now is the Secret Service credentials. Every student has to be credentialed by the Secret Service.
Well, what does that take? Fingerprints?
Thank God, not fingerprints. But we have an application process, so we're taking care of that. They have to have a specific photo made that fits the Secret Service guidelines.
Wow.
You can't just photocopy your driver's license or passport. You have to have one made for that, and it has to be exactly the way they want it. And if you make one mistake on that application, it's rejected, and too bad. So, you know, you just can't go.
You're just not gonna get
to go. There are no second chances with the Secret Service, which is the students don't understand that.
I think that's a bumper sticker, isn't it?
Your government
there
at work.
Go.
Yeah. First class. As far as the parade itself, can you tease a little bit about what you have planned or... as far as
we're going to be there
musically, okay.
We will, you know, we're blessed at Tupelo High School to have a fight song that is also a march.
Yes, it
down
is.
The field is a march, and so we will play that at the 112 beats per minute that the parade requires. There, it's a military parade,
mm-hmm.
and so they don't allow you to stop or do anything like at Macy's or the Rose Bowl. It's just a straightforward marching down the street parade.
Sure.
And they tell you how large a step size, what time you have to do it in. So we can make down the field work on the parade route. When we get to the reviewing stand in front of the White House, we're going to play a medley of tunes called American Salute, which has "This Is My Country" and "God Bless America."
Now, how many other bands do you know are performing? Do you have any idea?
I don't have any idea.
Okay.
I continue to look for a list,
and I haven't found one.
That list. I know that typically they only choose one band per state.
Right.
And so we were it from Mississippi.
That's a huge honor. So, Rick, you've been on the job less than a year.
5 months.
You've got to be proud, I would say, to get this honor.
I stepped into the right place at the right time, actually. Jason Harris, our principal, says you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because I went in his office in November and said, hey, what do you think about our applying for the inaugural parade? And he kind of said, sure.
Now, is that something that's done before the election? No. Okay.
Well, you can actually.
I just wasn't sure if it was.
You know, when you start looking online at on Twitter and you start seeing other bands that are going, you go to their website and then you go to their, you just start looking at what they're doing. Some of those people said they applied in October.
Wow. Okay.
But no, I thought about it in November, and kind of dismissed it. And then Floyd Stevens, the 39-year veteran of Tupelo, because he really should be director emeritus. We need to give him that title. But he suggested I do it because he took the band in 1989.
Yeah.
And I thought a little bit more about it, and I realized, gosh, it's going to be a lot of work. And a lot of work during Christmas holidays, you know. But I went ahead and did it. And I kind of... all the time said, hey, we're not going to get it, because there was a community college here in Mississippi that was really actively trying to get it.
Yeah.
The first thing I did was call Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I called their band director and said, are you going to do this? Because in my home state of Tennessee, the University of Tennessee band gets the parade all the time. Nobody else can get it because UT gets it. So I called those guys, and they said, no way we're going to do that. So I thought, okay, we can do it. So the only band that I know that actually applied was a community college down south.
And you guys got it.
Somehow we got it.
I think that just speaks to the quality of programming that you have.
Our students work hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rick, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you
coming in.
We hope you can continue to raise. There's a GoFundMe.
There he is.
For, I don't know that address off the top of my head, but
GoFundMe.com.
I'm sure you can search Tupelo High School.
And you just write in Tupelo Band. But GoFundMe is great, but we really try to want people to do the CREATE Foundation.
Okay.
Because 100% of that is tax deductible, and it comes all to us. And that's just a foundation here in Tupelo.
Absolutely. So CREATE Foundation is the best way and, that you can donate.
Right, just on the memo line, put THS Band Project.
It's simple. It's easy to do. And
it's tax deductible. And
what
everybody
what
needs right
to
now
do this time of
in
year.
The last 3 or 4 days of the year.
That's a great excuse on top of that worthy cause. Rick, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
We also want to remind you, you can look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Luck, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air Wednesdays. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com this week. There will be no Prep Rally podcast this week due to the holidays. Also, the Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans can check out the Double Coverage podcast with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry. They release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, inside commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Morning, Caleb Bedillion.
Hey there, Leslie.
Caleb's here this morning to talk about the railroad quiet zones or lack thereof.
That's what I was about to say, or the not very quiet railroads going through town.
So we're not going to have that in the near future?
Not in the near future. Now, this is something, obviously, that has been talked about for quite a while here in Tupelo. A lot of people would like to see the quiet zone so that the trains wouldn't have to blow their whistles or sound the horns when they roll right through the middle of town. But a lot of work is going to have to go into that. A lot of upgrades, safety features have to be added to all of the crossings. And there are about 20 or 22 crossings in Tupelo that would have to be upgraded to earn the quiet zone status, and they're expensive.
To the tune of $5.5 million, maybe?
Total, yeah, thereabouts. There was one study that showed it would be an average of $250,000 per crossing.
Wow.
And that, for all of them, comes to more than $5 million. But having covered projects like this before, I would not be surprised if they got into it and discovered that some of those crossings are even more expensive. I mean, I know for a fact some of them are going to be more than $250,000. So what we've got right now is there's a TAP grant, Transportation Alternatives Program, through MDOT, Mississippi Department of Transportation, that's going to help the city do some upgrades to two crossings in downtown. Now, this is not strictly speaking for the quiet zone. The purpose of this, since it is a transportation alternative grant, is to put some sidewalks in across some of these railroad crossings. But as a side effect, it does help the city get what it would need, at least at those crossings, for a quiet zone, though officials are quick to say, you know, they didn't seek this grant as, you know, to get the quiet zone. It really is about making a connected city a more pedestrian-friendly city. So right now, the mayor's administration is kind of pursuing a piecemeal approach of trying to upgrade crossings when it's feasible, when grant money is available. But there is no really concentrated effort right now to try and upgrade them all within a particular time span and get the quiet zone in 3 years or something like that. It's going to be a while.
When I first heard about the quiet zones, I thought perhaps it was just an aesthetic thing because people didn't like the noise. But apparently, according to your story, there are economic issues.
Right. You know, it has been thrown around that more hotels might locate in downtown if there wasn't a railroad that was blowing horns in a close vicinity. Doesn't seem to have stopped the Hilton, but, I mean, I guess we'll see one day if the quiet zone prompts a flurry of increased downtown activity. And then, of course, there are safety issues. If you do have the arms, the idea is it is difficult, if not impossible, to evade the arms. You can't decide you're going to be the guy that risks it and goes over the crossing and tries to race the train if the arms are already down.
Though I have seen that happen.
I myself, yes, have seen people like go around and do kind of the S-shaped thing where they go around each of the arms. That's a special kind of insanity.
Yes,
there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've seen people do that too.
Yes, I bet. Well, the day that I saw it happen, police officer was right there and stopped the person quickly. So.
Yeah. In the middle of the track?
No, they had already made the little zigs.
Serves them right.
Through the arms, and then police was on the other side to greet them and turned on his lights and got them. So.
Hopefully that is a rare gene that's out there, that level of thrill taking. We don't need that.
Or being in a large hurry. Yeah. Well, I'm a train lover, so I don't really mind the sounds. It's the trains themselves that, you know, keep me from getting everywhere I want to go.
And that is, you know, if there is a quiet zone, I believe the trains also would, this is at least an option that could be pursued, getting the trains to go a little faster. Too, because they don't have to slow down for the unguarded stops. If that's really going to make much of a difference to your commute, or if people that are getting stuck, as I sometimes do on Green Street trying to get here to the journal office, you know, are they going to be going enough faster that I would notice the difference while sitting in traffic? Probably not, but maybe we'll see one day.
Maybe so. Thank you, Caleb.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
Quick programming note on Capital View. We, of course, didn't have an episode this past Monday because of the holidays, but we will be back, even though it's the second, we will be back this Monday because it's right before the legislative session starts, and Bobby will preview it. So look for us this Monday, and then the legislature will be in session, so it'll be going a lot.
Now it's time for today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. State leaders do not plan to budget all of the money they are projected to have in 2017. Governor Phil Bryant, Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, and House Speaker Philip Gunn have all said that only 98% of the state's projected revenue should be budgeted in the upcoming fiscal year. That means they would set aside about $115 million. It also means they are proposing spending less in the 2017 budget than they did in 2016. Existing state law mandates that only 98% of projected revenue be appropriated by the legislature each year, but in recent years, lawmakers have often passed bills to exempt them from that requirement because of sluggish revenue collections. The law was passed in 1992 as part of the same legislation that created the state's rainy day fund. The thought was that it provides more cushion. Reeves often says that making revenue projections more than a year in advance is guesswork. But the additional $115 million could also make a big difference for numerous state agencies that are already dealing with budget cuts from this year and are facing the likelihood of more cuts in 2017.
Getting a flu vaccine doesn't need to wait for a New Year's resolution. Flu activity is beginning to increase in Mississippi, and public health officials are encouraging procrastinators to get the vaccination now. State epidemiologist Dr. Paul Byer said you shouldn't wait until the worst hits. He said the vaccine is the best protection we have against infection. The main strains of the flu that are now circulating appear to be H3N2 and influenza B. Both are included in this year's vaccine. There is still time to get a flu vaccine. It is widely available at primary care clinics and pharmacies. It can take about 2 weeks for the immune system to fully respond to the vaccine, but when people who have received the vaccine get the flu, it is less likely they will need to be hospitalized. In addition to getting a shot, people can fight the flu with frequent hand washing and covering their coughs. If they do get sick, they need to isolate themselves to limit the spread.
A pair of Nettleton High School alumni were recently recognized as the 2016 Fort Bragg Family of the Year. Specialist Coy Trey Hill and his wife, Mary Caitlin Hill, received the honor, along with their one-year-old son, Coy the Fourth. The family was nominated for it based on their volunteer work with youth at First Church of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Mary Caitlin teaches Sunday school, and her husband plays guitar during services. They're both chaperones for youth trips. After Trey graduated from Nettleton High School in 2014, he married his high school sweetheart, Mary Caitlin, and then went back to basic training in Missouri. That was followed by advanced individual training in Oklahoma. He was eventually stationed at Fort Bragg with the 18th Field Artillery Brigade, 18th Airborne Corps. He's a crew member on a U.S. light multiple rocket launcher.
Students at Milam Elementary will have a new resource to help them stay well and healthy. The school will partner with Catch Kids in January to offer a weekly clinic for children who need to see a health care provider. The nonprofit organization has long organized community clinics and worked with schools in Lee, Pontotoc, and Chickasaw counties to help kids who might otherwise fall through the cracks. Physicians, nurse practitioners, and registered nurses volunteer their time and expertise to see children who need them. Catch Kids also has arrangements with local pharmacies to provide medications free of charge to its patients. They work with local dentists to help children who need care and don't have resources to access it. Milam school nurse Janice Johnson will identify the students who would benefit from seeing a provider and contact the parents for permission. The nurse practitioner will come to the school and see the students one day each week. Parents are welcome to come to the school to participate in the visit.
The Tupelo Police Athletic League will be able to expand a mentoring program next year thanks to a grant from the national organization. The Tupelo Power recently received a $36,000 grant from the National Association of Police Athletic Leagues. It will use the money to enhance its Real Men Stand Up program. That program takes at-risk boys and pairs them up with adult men of character to help them learn responsibility and respect. The grant money provides supplies and allows the participants to engage in more activities. And again, we want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods. Shoppers Value Foods is located on East Main. It is a locally owned grocery store. As I said before, the store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners haven't changed, neither have the employees. It's the same store that was founded in 1957 with a higher quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main Street in Tupelo.
Good morning, Jenna.
Morning, Leslie.
Jenna Parsons, food editor, is here today to talk about food. I was particularly impressed, is not the word I'm looking for, but I'll use it for lack of a better one, your streusel recipe in your column. It sounded fabulous.
It was fabulous, but it is a once-a-year type of treat. When I was growing up, my Aunt Polly in Corinth, whenever I would spend the night there, she would always have a Sara Lee butter streusel cake for breakfast the next morning. And even after Charlie and I started dating and married, when we would go there and spend a night, Aunt Polly always had that Sara Lee butter streusel coffee cake for breakfast, but you cannot find them anymore. My understanding is they still make them, but they just don't sell them in Mississippi. So I found a recipe that duplicated or mimicked that recipe, and it is pretty darn close.
Well, it sounds delicious. And I didn't think about this yesterday, but I believe that my sister had one Christmas morning. But I think yours was probably much better. It was a Sara Lee because I saw the package.
Well, she lives in Alabama.
In Huntsville,
maybe,
Alabama.
Maybe they sell
but her
in
element
Alabama.
On her oven was out, so it was not very very hot. So, but it was a Sara Lee coffee cake. But
well,
this one sounds amazing.
This recipe in the batter, it has two sticks of butter.
Yeah.
And it calls for good quality butter. So I bought Kerrygold butter, which is $5 for two sticks.
Wow.
But the woman on her blog that where I got the recipe said it makes all the difference in the world. And I don't know because I didn't try using a regular butter, but I just know that this was good. But I will also point out that while the batter does have two sticks of butter in it, it only has 3 tablespoons of sugar. So it is not a sweet. There's some sweetness in the strudel topping, but the cake itself is not cloying, but it's made with yeast, so it's got that yeasty taste. It was just good. And it made, because it's so rich, I bet you could probably have gotten 12 to 15 slices out of it. So
did you?
Well, we cut it into that many slices. I had one piece for brunch the day that I made it, And then I've had one piece since.
So there's some left at your house?
That is a possibility.
Wow. Well. Perhaps I'll stop by.
Charlie's off today. I'm sure he would be happy
to
give you a piece.
Stop by and knock on his door and say, I'm here for a piece of this coffee cake, please.
Or that means there's none left.
Well, there's that, Charlie, right? Did. Charlie and the 20-year-old boy are home, so.
Mm. Oh, well.
It was a nice thought.
Your cook of the week was Virginia Mitchell from Pontotoc.
Lives in Pontotoc, right? She was born and raised in Bruce on a farm and learned to her way around. She had a home ec class where she learned a lot about cooking because her mom didn't let them in the kitchen a whole lot because with seven children, she would say get out or no when they would want to come in. So she had home ec where she learned a lot.
And she didn't do well in algebra, which I can relate to.
Well, she came out with a B, but it was harvest season for cotton. And so she had to skip school for a week to help get the cotton in. But her algebra teacher had grown up on a farm, and he understood why she had to be out. And so he helped her catch up, and she finished that class with a B, which is much better than I finished with.
Me too. And her recipes, or I know her pie recipes, or pies that are pictured on the front of
they
the food
looked
station
very
look
similar.
Really good.
One was a Kentucky Derby pie, and one is a buttermilk pie, I believe. I didn't taste either one of those. I did bring a slice home from each for my husband. But Thomas Wells was the photographer, and she scooped out a bowl of chili, and we had two spoons, and it's called good homemade chili. I would have called it darn fine.
It looks
homemade
good.
Chili.
The recipe
it was
looks
good.
Good.
It was good.
I think any chili recipe that puts a can of Rotel in it.
Well, Thomas actually suggested, he thought it was so good that he thinks that we need to make it next year for Chili Fest and enter that as our recipe.
Well, it looks good.
I think you had the winning recipe from the journal for this year's Chili Fest, didn't you?
I did.
Not to brag.
Well, you weren't.
It was my mama's recipe, so I'll give her the credit. I was excited about the creamy red wine vinegar dressing until I saw the mayonnaise.
I know, you're not a mayonnaise girl.
But there were three, it was three cups, and I was like, oh, my.
But there's also a cup of oil, isn't there?
Yeah, a cup of oil.
Right. She said, I think she told me that she had had, like, a red wine vinaigrette at a restaurant before and liked it, but wanted it to have a little more creamy texture, so she went home and mimicked it, and everybody just begged for it after that. So she keeps it made up in a big jug in a refrigerator, and when she gets ready to use it, she pulls it out and warms it a few seconds in the microwave and then shakes it to blend it again.
Hmm. Well, maybe I'll try it despite the mayonnaise.
Maybe I'll make it I was going to say and not tell you it's got three cups of mayonnaise, but that ship has sailed.
It has. Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you, Leslie.
Morning, Scott Morris.
Good morning.
Scott Morris is going to talk to us today about the movie he saw this week, which is Sing.
I did see Sing. And if you've been to a movie in the last year, you've probably seen the trailer for it because it's been everywhere. And I hear that your co-host didn't like it at all.
He did tell me this morning he was not impressed.
I was underwhelmed. After seeing trailers for, as you said, more than a year, I feel like I saw those trailers 3 years ago. I was hoping for more humor.
Did your daughter like it?
She liked the music.
I will say that in the theater screening I saw, the young kids, like six and under, loved this film. They were laughing the whole time, which I laughed some, but they were definitely, the humor was geared toward them, because I don't know how sophisticated y'all are, but when a fake eyeball pops out, that's funny the first time.
I enjoyed the first.
That is funny the first
time.
She
was probably the funniest character in the whole movie.
Honestly. She was. I'm talking about Miss Crowley. So it's an animated world where that peopled by animals, and so our main hero is Buster Moon, and as Kelly Carlson refers to the actor, performed by Matthew McConaughey.
You know what? I agree with her.
Koala-hey.
Matthew
McConaughey. Matthew
Koala-hey.
I love me some Matthew.
McConaughey. Okay. Yeah. And so he's it's kind of a cliche story just that you go on with, hey, guys, let's put on a show. And so they all have problems. They got people, some people, he's got money problems. The performers who come to perform have their problems, but they sing about them. And I don't know, I was pleasantly entertained from start to finish. And I thought, oh, they're about to end it now. And then they took it up a notch. So things got even a little crazier than I was expecting. So I was kind of a little bit surprised, even in the story, that I kind of knew how it was going to end. And I like the song selection. There's a song selection for young people for parents and grandparents as well. One of the central songs in the whole thing, kind of the overarching kind of song, is a Beatles tune. So you might appreciate that, Miss Leslie.
Yeah.
It's showing at the Malco and the Cinemark. I give it a B. I was entertained. The kids were entertained. I don't say you have to go. It wasn't that great. But little kids appreciate it. And if you have to take them, they're worse movies to go to. And in fact, the previews for this one showed things that seem like they're going to be far worse movies
yeah,
to go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that is that, very true.
That Boss Baby with Alec Baldwin, it's like he's giving Trump material to fire back at him with. that just seemed painful to
me.
I
groaned through that one. Yeah, there were a few. There were a few. At least there was enough awe moments in Sing to
there
make
some
up
awe
for
moments
the...
Jennifer Saunders, who I enjoy, she's always acerbic as Adina from Absolutely Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer Hudson sings for us, and Seth MacFarlane does his best Frank Sinatra impersonation as a bully of a mouse. And so there's some nice moments, some predictable moments, but some not quite so predictable. Hey, if you just believe in yourself and stick to your dreams, good things are going to happen, mm-hmm. Leslie, Chris, and Derek.
Even if everything goes wrong in the process.
Even if you like destroy lives, eventually, after the lives are destroyed, everything will get better after that.
I do enjoy a good running gag, however, and the little Japanese, what were they?
Foxes.
They were the foxes that kept showing up repeatedly. Kept me laughing.
Yeah, so it's entertaining. It's not high art, but...
But neither is the Boss Baby.
And quite frankly, neither is the Memo. No offense.
Fair enough.
Wow.
High art? Come on now.
I'll have to decide if I'm going to put Sing on my list of movies.
It's worth a rent, maybe.
Well, maybe I'll wait. Do that. Watch it in the privacy of my home.
Or you could just, back in the old Napster days, in like the early aughts, you could have just ripped the soundtrack and enjoyed.
Yep.
Well, no James Taylor that I heard.
No James Taylor, no.
That's sad. That's a loss.
King that I heard.
Yeah. Oh, well.
None of that.
Well,
there was Black Sabbath.
Really?
No, there was no Black Sabbath.
There was some Christopher Cross, though. That was excellent.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Good. Takes me away.
Not long enough, but.
Well.
I read somebody who got much more into a review, got more into like the music, and it's like apparently like it's a Universal company that did it, and so it was all Universal Music Group owned songs. Because my wife was wondering, how could they afford all those quality songs? Well, it's because they already owned them.
So it doesn't cost any money.
It's a cross-pollination thing going on here. So on some level, you know, they were attempting to reach into your wallet in multiple ways. But I didn't have any money in my wallet for them to get, so they were fine.
Well, thank you, Scott.
You're much more delightful than Brad.
I try to be.
Although
that
his
emotion.
Facial hair is far more nicely groomed than yours.
Well, what can I say?
Are we done? Can I leave now? I have to go back to work now.
Derek?
Leslie?
Let's talk about Scene.
Well, let's. It is New Year's Eve weekend, so a lot of people will be out partying. We hope they do that responsibly.
Will you be partying?
I will probably be asleep by 9 o'clock.
Me too.
Actually, no, I want to stay up and make sure this year leaves. My worst fear is it's going to roll to 12:01 and it's still going to be 2016.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I hope not.
We need to make sure this one goes out the door.
Groundhog's year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this one has got to go. So Tupelo Community Theater, though, is having a masquerade ball. on New Year's Eve at TCT Off Broadway. Tickets are $20 for that. That's going to have a trivia competition, and the $20 gets you your first drink free and a complimentary champagne toast for midnight. So it's also going to have music there. That's going to be at their Off Broadway location on 213 East Franklin Street behind the Bancorp South Arena. 844-1935 for tickets on that. Something else you can do fun this weekend, I think, and for some reason I think this is the best weekend to go do this, is go ice skate in the Bancorp South Arena. Several opportunities to do that for schedules and times. You can check bcsarena.com. It only costs $10 to go do that. And they've really done something cool this year. They've been doing this for years. And when they first started doing it, it wasn't a moneymaker. They just had the skating rink, and they're like, well, we'll just do this as kind of a service community. Now it's a huge moneymaker for the arena and for the city, therefore. But they've decorated this year. They've got the Einstein Edison bulbs, lights stringed across the whole thing, and they've dimmed the lights inside, and they have music playing, and it's really neat. I went out there the other day. So that's something really cool.
Did you skate?
You can do. I fell. So that's, I don't skate. I fall. That's something you can do over the holiday. Do you skate?
I do not.
I can't do it. Do you?
Neither roller nor ice.
No. Wesley had a birthday party at Skate Zone the other day, which was nostalgic because I don't think I've been in there since high school. That was where all our high school dances were at Skate Zone. So taking her in there, it hasn't changed a bit, but no, I still couldn't skate when I walked in the other day. But it's okay because neither could she. So we were on even playing field there. But if you're looking for more of a party scene this weekend, there is the almost New Year's Eve party benefiting the Regional Rehab Center at the J.J. Rogers Building on Friday night, hosted by the band Two Drink Minimum. Tickets are available for that at Reed's. That's always a good night of food and beverages and live music.
And a good place.
And a very cool aesthetic place, yes. I enjoy going to events there. So
until a train comes by?
Until a train comes by.
Except at New Year's, people probably won't even notice.
You won't. Well, the music will be loud. You'll never even hear it. So good times. And I keep waiting for the year that Tupelo will have some everybody gather downtown. They'll close off the streets and they'll drop a guitar or something. I keep expecting that to happen every year.
That would be fun.
Baby Elvis.
But I always think they'll do something like that downtown.
I think that would be great fun.
Gather everybody around. And
maybe we'll...
Fair Park. I guess that'd be the better place to do it than close down.
Maybe we should tip off, you know, Mr. Parade Craig Helmuth, who turned 50 today.
Happy birthday to Craig Helmuth.
Happy birthday, Craig. Let's come up with a New Year's Eve idea of dropping something off of a building.
TVA arrow. Could be the actual TVA arrow, too. You wouldn't even have to. You could just move it.
That would be heresy. That's more heresy than other things that have been said on today's show. I think the TVA arrow would be the thing to do. How about
top of City Hall?
How about we drop a train off of something while we're at it? Thanks for joining us on today's episode that was brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods, locally owned grocery store on East Main Street in Tupelo. You can find us online at memo.thejournal.com. That's where new episodes are available. That gets pushed to different podcatchers like iTunes, Satchel, and Stitcher FM. You can listen to us in any of those ways. And to find out when new episodes are available, follow us on Twitter at @TheJournalMemo. The stories we discussed today, you can either find in today's copy of the Daily Journal or tomorrow's. We did go ahead and do our Thursday episode today as well, doing the movie review and scene. But you will be able to find them, of course, online at TheJournal.com today or tomorrow as well. Leslie, thank you for joining me today.
Derek.
If I had it my way, you always would.
Thank you. You're kind. It's fun.
Okay.
I enjoy it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love the sound bites.
We're always glad to have you, Leslie.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
We'll be back next week, back on a regular schedule.
That's right. Yeah, quick programming note. Of course, no episode Thursday. This is the only episode this week. Monday, I believe, is just going to be an abbreviated year in review episode. And then, but we will be out Monday, and then we'll have a regular episode on Wednesday.
Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.